Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily with Sturch and Gooch. And of course, today is Friday, which means it is Lean Friday. Kyle Kerms in the house right now as he tweets out to his minions to get on in here because we are making some serious picks and we're making money today. We are making money this weekend because I can't stand to lose anymore because I can't do it. Actually, I've just completely disregarded betting for the last like 3 or 4 days because after I lost 10 in a row, I was like, I'll just regroup. I'll replenish, I'll deposit more money, and then I'll lose again. Dean of the Pick Mission House, and of course, our PR girl is in the house as well. Amber is here with her new blonde hair, so shout out to the new blonde do. You can check her out on social media and creep on her and all that good stuff. So we got a lot of things to talk about. Divisional championship round. She's like, really? Creep on me? Divisional championship round coming up this weekend. We got a lot of stuff going on. First and foremost, let's talk about some Patreon right now. That's patreon.com/chopsports. That's the way to monetize and help us out in a monetary way. $3, $5, $10. There's definitely different options for different things. $3 gets you the general support. We appreciate you. But the more important thing right now, and if you're watching this video, be sure to subscribe right now. Hit the like button on that video. I'm seeing way too many views on the video and not enough likes. Like, let's try to even that playing field out. So if you're watching right now, take a second and be like, I don't want to comment right this second. Hit the little thumb. It's a thumb up. That's really all it takes.
If you're on your phone, you have to close the comment tab to click the like button. So there might be a lot of people watching that don't know.
All right. Well, there you go. See, Kyle knows everything. He is the YouTube master. So thanks for the tidbit there. I want to start off by saying congratulations to my baby bro. I'm not sure if he's watching this right now. Yes, there he is right there. Love the money on Pacquiao t-shirt, Kyle. Oh, that's not the shirt you're wearing now.
No, this is Cleveland against the world.
It's in the thumbnail. We used your Pacquiao shirt.
Okay.
We created the thumbnail there. But congratulations to my bro. It is now public knowledge. I'm going to be an uncle once again. Can't wait. Little boy or girl, we don't know. I don't think we're finding out until Judgment Day. So we're going to find out when he or she comes out to add to my football squad that we have started to assemble. So congratulations to him.
Congrats, Danny.
Yeah, man. So 300. I keep saying 590 subscribers on YouTube right now. So make sure subscribe when you get a chance. At the moment, we want to hit 600 by the weekend. That's been the goal. Let's do it.
So today,
yes. So there's no more shows until Monday. So yes. And then that's that. Let's see. Yeah, that's all I got. Oh, by the way, big shout out. And I know all you guys will be tuned in heavily tonight. Ozark is back. Everybody excited about that? Nobody excited.
I already watched.
Never seen. No, I'm kidding.
You watched it already?
Bro, are you kidding me? I would literally get murdered. If I watched Ozark without Ashley, murdered. I wouldn't make it through the weekend.
Kyle start all the way at the beginning because he hasn't.
You
watched
never
it
watched
at all.
It, Kyle?
No.
Isn't
that where
doozy.
You're from?
Yeah.
Whoever's Netflix that I've been stealing for the last 2 years hasn't paid their bill, so I don't even have Netflix. It's my old roommate's.
Like
it's like my
month.
Old roommate's cousin. So Carlos, have your sister pay her Netflix so I could.
Oh my God! Well, you know what's funny? You know what's funny about that is that my sister-in-law, I have no problem sharing things, right? But you know how Netflix has certain price tiers of how many screens you can show it on. So, like, at first we had, like, well, Netflix was, like, $9.99, you know, like everything else. It was nice and cheap, right? All of a sudden, I got billed, and I'm like, well, why is it $17? I'm like, I didn't upgrade anything. So Christina, who my brother's wife, decided to upgrade the account so she can watch on her third TV without telling me, and then I had to find out the hard way, like, oh, by the way, you're upgraded. So now you can watch it on like 18 screens, according to how much I'm paying for Netflix. But in any event, that's that. Oh, yeah. So before we get into anything else, I do want to talk about Westbrook's response. I know it's not too crazy. All he basically did is he confided and he said, like, I'll do whatever it takes to help my team, blah, blah, blah. He was disappointed that he wasn't be able, you know, go back on the court. What's to say for the next game? I'm assuming they play tonight, right?
Yeah, it's tonight. In Orlando against the worst team in the NBA, and the line is only 5.5.
Oh, my.
How, like, are the Lakers only laying 5.5 to the worst team in basketball? That's absurd.
Oh, but Orlando has a phenomenal record against the Knicks this year, right? They beat them a couple times.
Twice in the Garden, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, God.
But that's two of their, I want to say, 7 wins, maybe 8.
Eight wins?
Yeah, they beat the Knicks, I think, in like the same week twice.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a 9-day span. Brutal.
And one game, the Knicks had like a 20-point lead
yep.
on them, I think.
Yeah, so the Magic record, and I don't want to speculate, I believe it's something like 8-37. It's horrible. They're the worst team in basketball.
And only five. So is that like...
Five and a half.
Is that a no-brainer?
Yeah.
Without giving it away?
Yeah, I was going to give that away at the end, but we can do that first.
Yeah, go for it.
So the Lakers blow an embarrassing lead to lose to the Pacers at home the other night, right? But now as we're sitting here 36 hours later, that blown lead doesn't look so bad because that same Pacers team missing everybody just went into Golden State last night on a back-to-back and beat the Warriors.
Bro, that's unbelievable that they won that game. With all the guys that were missing, it was their entire roster, it looked like.
Their starting five. Now, T.J. Warren's been out for the year, so he hasn't been there. But they're missing their four best players that were active this year. And the fact that the next night they go into Golden State and beat the Warriors, all of a sudden that loss, the Lakers lost the night before, doesn't look that bad because it looked horrible that they lost to this Pacers team. But then if they're going to go in and do the same thing to Golden State, maybe it's like, okay, yo, this Lakers, this Indiana second unit can play. So I think the loss doesn't look that bad. Now they go into Orlando and there's so much like Russell Westbrook's pissed. Have you ever seen Russell Westbrook play bully ball? Like when he wants to get to the rim, he gets to it.
Well, it's not like he's not going to start, right? He's back in the lineup.
I would imagine, regardless if he starts.
I don't think that they took him out of the starting lineup. No. They took him out of the fourth quarter
because crunch he was time shooting minutes. Like shit.
Yeah. He's still in the projected starting lineup for tonight, according to the sources I use.
Bring Russ off the bench? No.
What a way to add an impact. It's like getting like somebody back at the trade deadline off injury. It's like making an acquisition. If you bring off Westbrook off the bench, I mean, like, shit.
That's some energy.
That is some energy, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not saying it's going to happen, but,
regardless if he comes off of the bench.
For energy.
Regardless if he comes off of the bench or not, he's going to be attacking the basket. Like, everyone's making fun of his shooting. I don't even think he's going to pull up. dude's going to take 22 foul shots tonight. And I really like the Lakers. It's a no-brainer, and it's at the point, like, if I lose this bet, like, what are the Lakers? Do we just write them off as LeBron done? I mean, look, this is concerning.
I was just going to say, they lose this game.
I'm not a LeBron hater. I'm cool with LeBron, but... At what point do you know the other night against the Pacers, right? LeBron had like 33 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Typical LeBron James game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was minus 20 on his plus minus. That means when LeBron's on the court, the Lakers lost by 20 in those minutes. Now, Horton Tucker off the bench for the Lakers was plus 12. And all the Lakers second unit were in the plus, and all their starters were in the negative. So the Lakers, even though LeBron's putting up great numbers, they're losing when he's on the court, and when their second unit's on the court, they're playing better.
Well, I brought it up to him yesterday. Do you think there will be any possibility that if LeBron had the current last five games that Westbrook had, which he's shooting 20-something percent, would there be any ever inkling to be like, hey, LeBron, have a seat?
Well, LeBron is too different because LeBron doesn't shoot
bench
like
himself,
that.
He's the coach.
LeBron's
talking about
right. As far as basketball IQ, LeBron's is a lot higher than Westbrook, and that's not a diss on Westbrook. I can't even picture LeBron bricking like 9 in a row because I don't even think it's ever happened. He's too smart. If he misses 3 jump shots, then he's going to start attacking the rim. He's not going to let himself get cold like that. Also, he facilitates. LeBron, I can't even answer because I can't even picture it happening. Like,
yeah, there's just, in other words,
I know this is ridiculous and
he's in lockstep with me. There is no way LeBron James is coming off the bench or taking a seat in crunch time. It's not going to happen. At that point, retire.
I was going to say, at that point, it's probably over.
It's only going to be if like he's sticking around to play with his son and he comes off the bench on his son's team. That's the only thing I could ever see LeBron coming off the bench.
Is Bronny even playing well, though? Last time I saw it, he wasn't playing well on his team.
Scoop coming in. Good morning to Scoop. If we cannot talk Knicks today, that would be great. Regardless. Good. Save it for your podcast, Scoop. You could talk Knicks. You can bash them all you want because they're just once again, it's like the Knicks are so, hey, it's going to work out. And then it's just like, not today, folks. Like, it's just they're so up and down. It's so ridiculous. They might finish 41-41. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I saw at one point the Knicks were 17 of 50 from the floor. The floor. And not to mention R.J. Barrett, Julius Randle. Love them both. Since when can we just not hit a foul shot? If you're shooting 17 of 50 from the floor, at least hit your free throws. Like,
that's brutal.
Pelicans didn't even play well. They didn't even play well, and they beat the Knicks handedly because the offense was just
keep on slapping the Knicks unders.
Yeah, they can't shoot. Seems that way.
That's how Toast made all his money last year was Knicks unders.
Really?
Knicks first half and Knicks unders last year.
The Knicks unders because they're the only team in the NBA that actually does try on defense every possession.
So that's a testament to the coaching too.
Well, it's like Coach
Thibodeau's great.
Thibodeau's like Coach Carter.
That's also
without a ball.
That's also why they'll fall flat. That's also why they'll fall flat in the playoffs because then every team plays defense and they're like, well, now what?
Yeah. Last year,
against, we got to score.
Wait a minute. It's hold on. A
last year against the Hawks. Knicks were D and Trae Young and the Hawks up pretty well, but then when it came down the office, they were just like,
yeah, like all of a sudden, Clint Capella was like a rim protector, and Julius Randle had no clue what to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so UFC. The Knicks think again, and you know, we'll see if we can rebound over the weekend.
Well, that's that monster UFC card that's
right. Yes, and we'll start with that because. Ladies and gentlemen, the UFC is back, and we're excited here as fans of the sport. Last week they were back, but it was like more like a free card, Fox, whatever, you know, or ESPN for free. But now we're finally getting back into pay-per-views, and it's headlined by Francis Ngannou and, of course, Gagne.
I told you Gon was going to be favorite.
It was French, so I put the yeah on it, like the little thing in, but whatever. But this is the crazy part, is that Ngannou is a underdog.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've all seen his opponent do what he did. I did write down one thing that I'm very curious about. Not only, obviously, you got him at plus 125. I saw it on UFC.com today at plus 135. So Pick Bish will have her picks tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is the average fight times. Ngannou's average fight time is only 5 minutes and 38 seconds. His opponent's is up in the 15-minute range. Is this going to be a cardio thing where if Ngannou gets past the first round and a half, he's going to get gassed out? This is a 5-round fight, Gooch. This is why I think maybe that's why he's the dog. He's a monster. Don't get me wrong.
To answer your question, yes, he will be gassed if this goes 25 minutes because both guys will probably be gassed. Ciryl Gane definitely has the bigger gas tank, but the great equalizer to that gas tank is Ngannou's power. You see what he's able to do. All he's got to do is touch you once, and it doesn't have to be perfectly clean, and he puts you out. When I look at the fight, these guys know each other well. They're former training partners. Ciryl Gane's current coach is the same coach that brought Francis Ngannou into the UFC. Not into the UFC, but brought him along in his career. As you know, he left, I want to say, Cameroon to Europe.
Cameroon!
Right? Yeah, and when he got to Europe, he moved to France. He was living on the streets. And it was the coach that kind of took him in and developed him into the fighter that he is. They had a falling out. These guys now don't like each other. I think a lot of it's, publicity.
It's a publicity. You have to sell the fight, yeah.
But at the end of the day, there really is bad blood. Now there's supposedly leaked footage of Ciryl Gane doing well against Ngannou in training, and Ngannou came out and said, well, I knocked him out in training. Are they going to release that one? And he's like, and it was bad.
You know what? That happens happens more often than not. I mean, I'm not going to release names, but people know who I know. But like, there's been videos that are always out there that never see the light of day because of their training and the security
that's
cameras.
That's like an unwritten rule.
Are seeing bang,
you don't go out. You don't release training footage because A, everyone's gotten the worst of it in training. If you're out there sparring against good guys, you're going to get bested from time to time.
Right.
All right. But anyway, nobody really should be talking about what happens in the gym, I think. All that said, there's a 0% chance that I'm going to pass up on Ngannou at plus money.
Absolutely.
Because at any given point in the fight, he could end it. But he's an underdog for a reason because Ciryl Gane is the real deal. His footwork is insanely good for a guy of his size. I mean, he's only 15 pounds lighter. When we're talking about gigantic dudes like this, 15 pounds isn't the biggest difference in the world. Stipe has taken out Ngannou, and Stipe's probably walking around at like 235, 240. Mm-hmm. Ciryl Gane's a big guy. And like I said, his footwork, his boxing, it's second to none. It's just the power. We're going to be able to see if he's able to deal with that power. I don't think he's going to be able to.
Now catch people up, because obviously there's plenty of viewers right now and maybe people listening at home and watching later. Explain to them and re-explain, because it's been a little while, why is Gane the interim champ? Why? And then Gane won the belt, and then he didn't defend it. And then there's nothing more than I hate in both sports, both combat sports, boxing and MMA, than an interim champ.
Well,
I hate that
shit. In this particular case, I really couldn't find a good reason. I wish I had a real good reason, other than the fact that I think that Dana White doesn't like Ngannou. He was supposed to defend his belt a little bit sooner, according to the UFC. Typically, what they do with an interim title is if the guy is on the shelf for an injury.
Correct.
Or something like that. In this case, it wasn't that. It was just, it wasn't, the timing wasn't right. UFC champions typically take 6 months off in between fights. Right now is about the 6-month mark, I think, for Ngannou. So he's on par. There's no way that they should have had him fight for the title when they had Ciryl Gane fight Derek Lewis, that was the card that they wanted Ngannou to fight
balls
on.
Is hot.
When he said no, they just made the interim belt. But either way, all that was doing was setting up the unification bout, which is essentially just another way for the UFC to sell things. Now they got champion versus champion. This is the fourth unification bout in UFC heavyweight history.
So then they have a history of heavyweight champions either A, getting hurt, B, like, you know, like
this, yeah, two of the other two times it was Brock Lesnar.
Well, he had diverticulitis.
In unification bouts. And I think the other one was Randy Couture, maybe, but I'm not sure. Either way, my heart is leaning towards Ngannou. My head's leaning towards Gane.
Me
but
too.
The money line is I'm going with Ngannou.
I'm all over Ngannou. Only for
plus
the
money, I mean.
Plus money. Yeah, I'm all line. Over that because I just feel like if anybody has puncher's power to knock this kid out within a blink of an eye, it's Ngannou. The guy's a house. There's another fight that we want to definitely touch on, and that is obviously Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueroa. Now, I don't know. Again, this is another title fight with the underdog not being that heavy of an underdog. I think plus 145 isn't that heavy of an underdog to go into a title fight. Right?
He's not that big of an underdog. These two guys have fought twice, both great fights. With Moreno, he's the kid that nobody gave a chance, and now he's the heavy favorite. I think he's a heavy favorite. I mean, minus 175.
That's heavy.
Yeah, that's a pretty heavy favorite when you got two guys that are as evenly matched as them. I just think that he turned the corner. He came into the UFC on The Ultimate Fighter. He was the 16th ranked seed on that show. He ended up, I think, taking second.
He's the Funko Pop guy?
This is the guy that he just needs more room for his Legos and his Funko Pops. That's the funniest interview you will ever see by a UFC fighter. And honestly, it's impossible to hate this kid. He's thanking Davison Figueiredo for his house and all these things. Like, nobody thinks that this fight should be going down with how convincing the last one was, even though it was a great fight. But he's basically saying, look, Davison Figueiredo gave me a second chance when he beat me, so I'm going to give it back to him. Gotta love this division. A lot of action, but I'm going to go with Moreno in this one. I'm going to lay the 175.
It's going to be interesting with this UFC card. I know Greg Hardy was supposed to fight on this card. He got moved to the Colby card, I believe, in March.
Yeah, 272.
So that'll be exciting. But, yeah, so if you want to place your bets, go do that. Gooch knows his shit. So does the Pick Bish. She'll be dropping her graphic and her picks, I guess, tomorrow. Or
Moreno losing.
Morning, yeah. Tomorrow morning. So.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
Shout out to Scoop. If I do not link up with Gooch, this is something else we can go out and watch, because I know me and Scoop want to go out and watch the Packers.
Tomorrow I'm getting pulled in like 40 different directions.
You got to make a decision.
Typically, man, what happens in those situations is that I just sit down in my couch and I do nothing, because like I have too much going on, and it's like, hey, this is where I'll be. Anybody that wants to come here, come here.
All right. That might be the play then. I guess we'll figure that out tomorrow as he wakes up and starts shivering, because it is playoff weekend, divisional championship playoff weekend. We're excited. I'm not excited because obviously, for the obvious, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are. Oh, before we get into the games, did you see the unjust that Dak Prescott received yesterday? $25,000 fine.
I thought we might have made it through one episode, but that is, what do you mean unjust?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, stop.
Oh, stop? Your boy lied and I also basically made a mockery of health and safety protocols and got 10 grand less.
I don't care what millionaires are getting fined. I simply just don't care. Like, it's Bruce Arians got fined $50,000 for hitting his player in the helmet. That's unjust.
But it's just dumb, man. Like, he literally smiled after saying
it. CD got fined more than Aaron Rodgers, too. Ha ha. Does it really bother you?
What did he get fined for?
For not having his jersey tucked in.
Welcome like back. Welcome to the NFL. Like,
does it really bother anybody that the NFL players are getting fined?
Because they dropped that kind of hammer on him after basically smiling about it when he was saying it and then apologizing the next day. NFL was like, that's cool. Here's another 25 G's.
Yeah, but like the people that he's apologizing to have no bearing on who's levying the fine.
It's just, I find it to be utterly ridiculous. But in any event, would you say you thought you were going to get through a podcast without
talking
about Dak or any Cowboys?
Yeah. Well, yeah,
that's silly. I mean, come on. Who are you talking to? Like, come on now.
Fair point.
Fair. And I mean, when we talk about the 49ers and the Packers, don't you think I would bring up the Cowboys?
Yes.
Oh, well,
yes.
There you go. See, that's plus money.
We got one in the books.
Plus money on how many times I referenced the Cowboys. Remember, we had a ding for a little while. That was
AJ's the over job. Under. Let's see. That was like not even football season yet.
It wasn't. You're right. It was hype season. I was getting hyped for a season. I'll never do that again, ever. Thank you, Cowboys. You've made me numb. All right, so let's get into the games, right? This is what everybody's here for. This is why Kyle's people are here. This is why everybody's watching. We're going to be making some picks, me and Gooch are at least. Kyle will give you his leans, and his official picks will come out on Saturday, on Sunday, on his website. But make sure that – how many videos are you dropping on all of this stuff on your
probably
YouTube?
Probably all four.
All four games. All right, all four games on his YouTube, the Sauce Network. Go check that out. It's literally a link on our page. You just click on it. Boom, there they are. So we'll start off with – the Bengals and the Titans. We're not going in broadcast order, even though I do think this is the first game of the Saturday slate. We'll do AFC, and then we'll do the NFC. We'll start off with the Bengals and the Titans. We've talked about this game at length. We do know that King Henry is back. He's going to be, you know, his touches. That remains to be seen. Joe Burrow, obviously, he's been slinging it. There's a lot to talk about here, but the line itself, the Titans are home, -3.5. To me, that means if this game was played on neutral gang territory, that it would be almost a pick 'em. And that means this team is very, very evenly matched. And can I just say, and this is not a knock on the Titans, they are the one seed, but out of all the teams left, there's what, 2, 4, 6, 8 teams left, right? Is this Titans team the most boring out of all of them? Everybody else has like a storyline. The Titans are just the Titans.
I mean,
what's the story with the Titans this year?
They win
Derrick
a lot.
Henry? Yeah,
they keep winning. Their head coach is really good. Derrick Henry, AJ Brown. They've had a lot of injuries. They battled through it, and they're still here. That's been the Titans since they acquired Ryan Tannehill, and he's been the. I wouldn't say he's been underrated this year. He didn't have the greatest season this year, but over the last 4 years, Ryan Tannehill has definitely been, I would say, a top 10 quarterback, and nobody puts him in the top 10.
Glow coming in the chat. Do we really think Henry's going to be on a pitch count?
No.
I don't think so, because I think if he starts rolling downhill, he's rolling downhill. They're not going to hit him with his 15th carry, and he's like, all right.
Well, they might put him on a snap count, but I don't think that when he's in the game, he's definitely full go. I would imagine
when he's in the game, he's getting the ball.
He's going to be getting the ball.
Right. He's not going back in that game after an injury to pick up a block or two.
And yeah, Stimmy OG, I agree, man. This is definitely the hardest one to pick.
Oh, absolutely. I would say because, and this is what I said about...
I think there's two
This
hard
is what
ones.
I said about the number one seeds in general, right? If you're rolling in week 17 and week 18, right, do you really want that week off if you're rolling? See, the Bengals, they got to play a game last week, and they got to beat up on the Raiders and win that game, right? The Titans have been kind of hanging around.
Yes.
So this is big. I think advantage Bengals. They're rolling right now.
I mean, advantage Bengals, they're rolling, but they lost week 18. So where were they rolling to?
I'm just saying they had a game last week.
Fair enough. But what if you're the Titans and you have a guy like Derrick Henry that maybe wouldn't have played last week if they had a game? And now you get him back. So that bye week is obviously crucial.
I think if they had a game, Henry would have suited up last week. I'm firmly behind that. But in any event, we'll throw it to you first. All right. Bengals. Titans -3.5, the over-under 47.5.
As I said earlier, I think this one is probably the most difficult one for me to pick. I really, really like the Titans in this game, given the 3.5. That half a point does scare me. As much as I like the Titans, I keep on going back to the fact that Joe Burrow in the playoffs, there's something about this kid that I think he's a winner. And I have a hard time picking against him in this situation. It's only Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
I know I just said he's underrated, and it's the worst thing to do is to kind of discredit this guy in this situation. But luckily, I'm not playing for the Bengals, so I don't have
to worry
about discrediting him, and it's not going to come back and burn me. So I'm going to pick the Bengals in this one because I've been talking up Joe Burrow all year, and I really am looking forward to a possible Mahomes or Josh Allen, Joe Burrow AFC championship. And I think it's something that we could kind of get used to, is the Bengals being a perennial playoff team, a perennial contender at this
point. Omar V coming in saying the streets are saying Titans by double digits. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would say.
I like the over more so than anything.
I would say you're taking the Bengals plus the 3.5, right? I'm riding with you, Gooch. I think the game last week helps the Bengals. I think the Titans have a very, not a high possibility or high chance to come out flat. But they, what's wrong?
No, keep going.
But they might. They might come out flat. And I think that offense that the Bengals have are able to score in bunches. And when it comes from coming from behind, like the Titans would maybe possibly have to do, I don't like that offense to come from behind. I like them to get the lead and then run Henry to the ground and then kind of control the clock and win the game. I think the Bengals offense is going to still fly high, and I'm picking the Bengals here. I think, honestly, Jackpot Joey's my guy now in the AFC. I'm going to root for his success until he becomes Tom Brady, and then becomes Tom Brady, then I'll hate him. But right now, I like him. He's new. He's fresh. He could be the face of the league going forward, along with that entire new quarterback class that you've been seeing kind of take over the league by storm. But Jackpot Joey's going to get it done. Ja'Marr Chase doesn't – you know, it's so funny. Somebody brought this up the other day. Remember in the preseason when somebody said that Ja'Marr Chase couldn't
catch
because
he couldn't see it? He had one drop all year.
Right. That like ridiculous. Like oh, he can't see the ball, or oh, the college ball's a little bigger.
Honestly,
or smaller.
It poured
like,
cold water all over his fantasy stock, and anybody that ended up getting him two rounds later
won their fantasy
of those
league.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Basically, or made a deep run. My brother won with Ja'Marr Chase. You know what I'm saying? So that definitely helped. Kyle, saucy yeah. baby. What are we feeling here?
Not the Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that already though.
Really?
I knew that already.
Oh, you knew that already.
I knew that just based on our conversation like last week.
Okay.
I have not dove into the research for this one yet, but I really like the Titans defense a lot. We've had some good covers from it, especially at home. I mean, this Titans team has played a lot of playoff quarterbacks already. If you take a look at their schedule, I mean, they beat the shit out of Mahomes. They completely shut down Stafford. Like, a lot of the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs right now have been just stifled by the Titans defense. At home, well rested. I love that dude Simmons that they got on the D-line. Mm-hmm. He's probably the most underrated defensive lineman in the NFL. So, yeah, I'll be betting the Titans, but I do admit there's something to what you guys are saying about the first-round bye. I'm definitely not going to be touching Titans first half, that's for sure. But I also don't think...
Now, would that mean the Bengals first half would be a good play?
If you're, like, trying to bet your face off...
that's crazy.
I mean, there's only eight games, bro.
I'm not going to sit here...
Like, I like the Titans for the game, but I'm definitely going to take the Bengals for the first half. That's crazy talk.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend I haven't done that 1,000 times, because I have. Right. But, I mean, this game's on Saturday. Loaded college basketball slate, loaded UFC, and there's like 10 NBA games. There's no reason for me to be forcing bets on there.
I understand.
Like, I just had, after these last 6 days, I just had to re-up my account, and that shit hurts. I'm in the dumps right now.
All right. Well, then you won't be betting the first half, but you kind of leaning towards the Titans.
Nah, I guess if you were asking me, like, pick a first half bet, I probably would lean Cincinnati, but the line's going to be, like, what, 2.5? Like, are you really getting enough there? I think, and you said the over, I think it's the under. I think the Titans win, like, I was going to say, like, 24-19.
All right. Interesting.
Well, that'll
all
be good for the under.
Well, like I said,
Toast
be short.
Toast getting Titans first half.
Wait, what? We just explained to you that's not the smart play, but Toast is like, plus money,
Toast,
let's do it.
Toast,
but
more
Toast
just
already to, probably looked deep into this first half.
He's got the analytics
situation,
out
the yeah.
ass.
Toast so. Marches to the beat of his own drum. Now, something Toast shared, I don't know why I always put a piece of gum in. Something Toast shared with our group chat.
Did I miss this one? He usually,
you know what?
It's like 16 novels deep.
Yeah. I think he might have sent it to our side one with just him and AJ where we talk about.
fucking excuse me. I'll go fuck myself.
But so the Toast, put it in the chat about the first round bye against the spread, because the team coming off the bye has a bad record. It's like 16-25 against the spread, but they're unbelievable on teasers and money lines. So the history shows usually the first round team wins and doesn't cover. Put the Toast. Come on, I know you're watching.
he's calling.
I know
bluff,
you got
Toast.
Him, bro. Put him in the comments.
And while you're looking for that, I do have Ashmere Fit coming in saying there's a lot of people watching, not a people liking the video. So like this video, please do us that solid. That helps us out, and of course subscribe to the channel. I think those are just angry emojis or something to that effect. Something doesn't add up. She's all over it, and that's what makes her who she is, and that's great because she's always supporting Child Sports. I appreciate it. So Toast, if you're listening, obviously he's listening, but if you have some kind of stat, it's he's probably pulling it up off the chat, and if you guys have a chat as deep as the ocean, like it's gonna take him a little while.
He can't put a picture in.
Oh, you're right, he can't.
So
right.
He send it in a picture, a screenshot rather
I
than
got it. So
all right, you're off the hook. I'm
off
sorry.
The hook on that one. So all right, well, let's Kyle's leaning certain way right now. You can check out his bets on the Sauce Network on YouTube. He'll put up all the videos for official bets tomorrow because, ladies and gentlemen, you don't make your picks on a Friday for a Saturday game. Don't be an idiot. In case anything moves, you think this line
Unless
moves?
Unless you got that Titans line at 2.5.
This line, yeah, if you got early on, you could have got Titans at -2.5 when it opened, and the books moved that so fast, which means they opened it, and the Sharps came in and leveled it, and the books were like, oh, shit. And so we moved from 2.5. It opened... I think before the games even ended last weekend, and they hammered it, and it by Sunday night late, it was already 3.5, and it's been pinned there. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to move. If it moves, it'll probably come back down to 3 because it's -3.5 at +100 last I saw. So they're not loving it at 3.5. They're not loving giving out the Bengals +3.5 tickets from what it appears from my view.
They're going to give me a Bengals 3.5 ticket. That's what they're going to do. Nope,
Toast is typing it.
I'm just taking
it. Oh, Toast is typing. Wait, he's typing it out? We're going to be on the fifth game of the weekend.
I'm going to fade Kyle if he takes the under. I'm going to take the over, but I'm not going to touch this game.
As a whole, you're not.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna take the over. I'm not gonna pick a team and bet that,
bro. Wow. Who are you gonna root for?
I mean, yeah,
I'm gonna root for points and root for Joe Burrow because I picked them here.
Well, yeah. So you picked them on the show. You would like. Yeah, listen, I made a promise to myself. I made a promise to myself that I was gonna try to go 4-0 this week. So that was like I actually dove into each game, saw the spread, saw the movement. I actually like finally did some actual research, which sounds terrible considering like, oh, what does that mean? Doesn't do any research prior to this? No, I do. I really want to go 4-0 this weekend, so and make that money. Yeah, Toast, you're out of time. We're gonna move on.
The stat applies for all the games. It's just first round buys.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And it's applicable whenever he gets it in.
Got it.
But awesome. Hurry the fuck up.
Seriously. All right, moving on. The Bills and the Chiefs. This is probably, if I had to say, this is. I'm gonna put it out there. This is the best game of the weekend. Like, there's no other way to describe it. This is the closest game of the weekend. This is the one that where if this game was literally the other way as far as being in Buffalo, I might think a different thing. But there is a lot to talk about when it comes to the Chiefs and the Bills. Clearly, the quarterbacks are the story, right? It's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's great. Both running games to me don't exist, right? So except for Josh Allen running on his own, and then maybe Mahomes running on his own a little bit. Darrell Williams. He's been all right. Nothing crazy. You know, whatever. Nothing to sneeze about. So then the receiving core, obviously. There might be something to be said for like a guy like Emmanuel Sanders this weekend. I don't know. If you're a prop guy, I know the Beavers watching. Maybe look into what his anytime touchdown score is, because obviously everybody's on Trayvon Diggs and everybody's going to be on little Cole Beasley over the middle.
Over that Gabriel Davis.
Or Gabriel. Right. Like the second or third receiver.
Yo, Dawson Knox is looking like Kelsey out there.
Dawson Knox, bro. Listen, I'm in this other. Oh, by the way, I owe you money because I'm in like fantasy. I'm in all these fantasy things. And me and my brother went in on this pool where you're only allowed one player per team. And once they're out, they're out. Right. Okay. We had Knox on our minds. We're like, we got to do it. We switched it at the end, took Zach Ertz.
Oh, my God.
Kapow! Like, I was like, no fucking way. And then he's scoring, like, every third down. And I was like, no way. Dawson Knox is something special. And now it's Knox against Kelsey, which is great, right?
Yeah.
The defense is obviously the Chiefs. After starting slow, they rebounded. Steve Spagnuolo just turned that thing around really, really well. There is a couple storylines to watch for in Buffalo when it comes to like their staff. There's been a lot of like GM things going on. There's a lot of offensive coordinator things going on. Bieniemy last night, I saw that article. Is that there's truth to that? Like he's just going to wait it out?
Yeah,
is that right?
I think that's been pretty evident anyway. I don't think Bieniemy was ever really a serious candidate. So he's like
the next guy.
I know that he
read?
Wants that Chiefs job. Why would he leave Kansas City?
If it was guaranteed for him. Because look, for years we were saying like, oh, why can't he get a job? Well, maybe he was the one saying no.
Well, I don't know that that's true altogether. Like he wasn't getting jobs. But that was like 3 or 4 years out from him being considered for the Chiefs job because, you know, they have a head coach. But now I think that at this point, you know, you could probably look towards Andy Reid hanging it up within a year or two at his age.
Yeah. Just so you know, Cousin Vinny came in. Singletary has been good. And yes, I understand that. But like when you look at the Bills as a whole, Singletary wasn't the guy all year round. It's just a matter of him turning it up when it's right. So he's like playoff Singletary. You know what I mean? Like he's playoff Lenny all of a sudden. But in this game in particular, the spread is a -1.5 favoring the home team. This means that it would be completely, if this game was in Buffalo, Buffalo would be favored by 2, maybe 1.5 again.
Which
just
I
the other
don't
way.
Understand.
Crazy, right? I think it's a little insane. I'll pick this one first since you went first last time. I love Josh Allen. I think that this is, you're right over there, there, Chief. I love Josh Allen. I love that offense. I actually really like the defense. I've been liking Micah Hyde for like ever. So when he made that play last week, I'm like, what a phenomenal player. Cool dude, right? He's just a good player. I like Sean McDermott. I like everything there is to like about the Bills. But it's the Chiefs. And the Chiefs have been beating the shit out of some teams in the last couple weeks down the stretch after that long winning streak they went on. Andy Reid is for me, is will out-coach Sean McDermott any day of the week. The spread being as low as it is, I almost think it's kind of insulting. I think it should have been like 3. But again, I'm not a shark. I'm not a gambler like that. I don't know these things. But I feel like the Chiefs are that much, you know, 3 points better than the 1 point and a half. You know what I mean? So give me the Chiefs. Almost at the Bills. Give me the Chiefs in this one. -1.5. I like a shootout. I think it's going to be the best game of the weekend. But at the end of the day, it's still Patrick Mahomes. And listen, truth be told, I'll be rooting for the Bills. I will, because I like their story. Vinny's a Bills fan. I know Sean Boyan's a Bills fan. For Bills Mafia, I'm rooting for you guys. I really am. I just don't think they get it done. Gooch?
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with you on the whole point spread thing. It doesn't make sense to me. I think that it should be 3. The fact that it's 1.5, I don't know what that necessarily means. I would imagine that the money's fairly split in this one. Heavy on Buffalo. I guess that's what it means.
But is that enough? Like, +1.5 is enough for you to, like, go nuts with Buffalo?
I mean, no, it was at 2.5, 3 when it opened.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the money, all right, that makes more sense. So I didn't see what it opened at. But, yeah, there's just no way I'm fading the Chiefs in this spot. They've been proving it. Last year in the AFC Championship, they beat them 38-24. This year they played, and I think Buffalo beat them 38-20. Am I wrong about that? Buffalo did kind of handle the Chiefs. But that was when the Chiefs were struggling. They were struggling really bad at that point. That was probably one of the games that forced the turnaround with what the Chiefs have been doing. Obviously, getting the Giants, I think, the following week.
See, helped. Now, all right, I'm sorry, keep going. I just want to bring out a couple comments after you make your pick. Or did you make your pick? You made your pick.
No, right? The Chiefs turnaround was when they got Melvin Ingram in week 9.
That's true. I'm picking the Chiefs. When do they play? Week 6?
Week 6, I want to say. Yeah, somewhere in there. 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there.
I ask Kyle this because he's the expert here. Like, when you have a low spread like this, right, 1.5, what is the actual point to take the money line with the Chiefs?
Oh, all right.
What are the actual odds that they don't win by 2? You know what I mean?
Okay, like, so
explain that.
I'm going to explain this in a short way because I could talk about this for a while. So always take the point spread. It's always going to be the best value. Now, I'm not saying if you don't take the money line, if you don't take Buffalo, if you take Buffalo money line, you're not going to get paid out a little more 95% of the time. But the value on line movement, right, and buying and selling points, it's shaped like this. Picture something shaped like this, right? Mm-hmm. And the very top is that, let's say, -1.5, -110. That's the best value you're going to get. Now, the farther you buy points, sell points, the farther away you get from that, the more the value tilts towards the books, because they know people aren't going to do the math. Like, okay, let's say I want to do Chiefs -4.5, right? I want to sell 3 points. They know that you're not going to do the math to see, like, okay, it's +128. If you actually sat down and did the math, like, how often do game end in 2, 3, and 4? Did the math, you're like, no, that should be +152. Like, they know you're not going to do it, which is why the farther you get away from that -110, mm-hmm, the less value you have. Unless you're doing one of those, and I can't think of the name, one of those teasers.
Like alternate lines or something like that?
Well, some those six-point teasers, some books have them built in where it's just you either sell 6 points on 2 or 3 games or buy 6 points, and those are built in to be -110, so those aren't too bad, but when you're buying and selling points, you are losing value.
Toast came in, never, ever buy points, he said. All caps, 10,000 exclamation marks.
See, like, I don't really ever buy points, but I will lay an alternate line when I think a team is going to blow somebody out. Like, when I say I would lay, if the spread was 16.5 and it's 10.5, when I say that, like, I literally mean it. Like, I will go find at 16.5 and I'll bet that for a bigger payout, but I don't buy points.
We've all done that. But the math of it is that is not smart.
Of course not.
Right. Yeah, of course. I've done that.
I was just curious because I'm like sitting there, I'm like, if I think they're going to win, more than likely they're going to win by more than one.
Yeah, I like to do that at halftime of a lot of games where I see a live game when I'm like, this team is about to roll in the second half because I'm watching the game and I just get the feel, then I'll lay a ton of points in a live bet.
Yeah, well, that's also different live betting, but also just know that the farther you, like, say you want to take Cincinnati money line against Tennessee, right?
Right.
And they're giving you
plus, which I kind of might. I might. Right.
Right. And they're giving you, like, plus 135 or whatever it is. Just know that that should be, like, plus 155. Just wow. Know that you're getting shafted value because that's what they do, knowing when an underdog covers but the favorite wins, the book's just cleaned up because everyone who bet the underdog took the money line and everyone who bet the favorite laid the points.
Right.
So that's what they want.
The more you know. This is why. And this has been a Sauce 101 here at Chop Sports today because I needed to know that because I was just – and O-plus is the only one that, like, triggered that to me. I'm like, well, why the hell would I take the Chiefs money line? In any event, we're both taking – the Chiefs here. Kyle, you feeling any certain way about this?
This is my guarantee. Do you want me to wait to the end of the show? Or?
Oh, wow. This is your guarantee.
But, I mean, you guys both agree with me, so it's not much of a guarantee.
All right. So
I guarantee the Chiefs win and cover.
Yeah, all right.
People seem to have a very short memory span with Josh Allen. Dude's loaded with talent, but we've had some turnover problems with this guy. Not that we didn't have turnover problems with Mahomes earlier in the year, but it was way farther in the past. Since the Chiefs got Melvin Ingram in week 9, I don't have it up.
They turned it up. They definitely turned it up.
Rob, this is the hammerhead lock.
asking about the hammer. It's a thing now.
Yeah.
The hammer shark.
So my guarantee were Chiefs win and cover anything up to 3. And even if it goes as high as 3.5, which it won't, the sharps are on Buffalo. Even if it goes as high up to 3.5, I would still take the Chiefs. I think they went by a touchdown or even more.
Yes, I also love the over in this one.
I think the shootout's going to happen. Yeah, I think this is going
to
be.
There's going to be some. These offenses are coming out to play.
Keep in mind, though, and I agree. I mean, like, I think these good offenses will trump the good pass defenses, but these are two of the best pass defenses in the NFL also. So it's something to.
Yeah,
it's like a TV ratings wet dream.
They average, I think they average 60 points a game.
Is this the Nance and Romo game?
Two or three, hope so. Like 60 points a game for these two teams. I'm definitely laying 53.5. I think it is. Yeah,
I like it. It's going to be the game of the week, and I'm loving it. So anyway,
that'll be cool. It'll be fun.
Vinny, cousin Vinny's a big Bills fan. He co-hosts the Cross Court Cast here on the network, and he's saying that Allen gets such a bad rap for turnovers.
So does any quarterback in the world.
So does Tony Romo. So does, right. Like, of course you're going to get a negative connotation to your name if you turn the ball over. Oh, yeah.
I don't even
Do you remember Mahomes early in the year?
My quarterback doesn't turn the ball over. So.
Oh, my
here
God.
We go. Here we go.
I mean, he had 2 picks in the first half of week 1. He finished with 4 on the season. So.
What a stud. Anyway, we'll get into that game
last. That's not
last.
A made-up
the
stat.
Main event. We'll save that one for last. We'll move it on over to the Rams and the Bucks. Moving on to the NFC. So according to me and Gooch's picks, it'll be a Bengals-Chiefs AFC title game, which will be a lot of fun. I think either way, even if it's Bengals. See, that's what I'm saying. If the Titans get there, it's just not fun to me.
I'm dying to know what Kyle thinks of this game.
This is the hardest one to pick of the weekend, I think.
This one's a
really?
Tough one.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
2.5, like.
Well, this one's at 3 here. Yeah, we got it at 3 this morning.
Oh, shit, hold on.
So maybe there's something different to this one. But it is the Bucs. Tampa Bay, Brady Nears are also hosting this game. They're -3 against the LA Rams, who just got done beating the piss out of little Kyler Murray. So, honestly, again, the momentum. Like I said to you last week, the momentum is riding with the Rams because they had such a great game. The Bucs beat up on a shit Eagles team that belonged nowhere near the playoffs. Here come the Eagle fans. Wait a minute. You know, like, it's not. I'm not trying to knock you because I hate your team. I'm saying I knock you because your team wasn't playoff caliber ready. And if you want to be like, well, neither were the Cowboys. Like, you're right. Neither were the Cowboys. I'm like B-Rabbit right now. You can't. Anything that you could say, I'm already saying to you. Yeah. So there's nothing for you guys to say.
All right.
Take my ass over the tracks at 8 Mile.
All right, so as far as this game goes, obviously,
I got fired
the big question for me is, how's Tampa Bay's offensive line? Are they healthy?
Offensive line for Tampa Bay?
Who knows?
So a lot of guys dropped last week, but I think Wirfs came back, worked on his leg there, came back into the game, and then left again once the game got out of hand. So I'm assuming if he was going to be a questionable go, he's a go. The other guy, however, I think that was a cart job. I don't know if he's coming back. I'm not sure. I haven't even looked into it, the injury report. But, yes, that's a big factor because the Rams' defensive line is obviously with a potential NFC or NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and Aaron Donald, he's like a 9-time winner or whatever the case may be. But they do have a good front four. They have a good defensive system and a scheme to to, you know, give Brady some fits. I just, what do you got over there?
Tristan Wirfs, Ryan Jensen, and Leonard Fournette all returned to practice.
There you go. So they're going to play. There's no, to me, if it's playoff time, like, there's no, like, there's no, I don't know, maybe. You know, if they're questionable and they're on the field for practice, they are playing the game.
But there's something to be said for being injured while playing against a guy like an Aaron Donald or a Von Miller.
That there won't be any, like, actual questionable people. If you're practicing at any point this week, you're playing.
Lavonte David also returned to practice.
There you go. Yeah. Another one. I mean, we knew about that. I knew about that one.
The Bucs have been getting healthy quietly. And the only reason why people still think that the Bucs are completely banged up is because it's the wide receiver. It's like the bells and whistles that make the Bucs up is what's actually missing. But all the things that make them who they are on defense, they're starting to get those guys back. I think it's all about offensive line in this game and how that's going to hold up. I think that Brady might be in for a little bit of a he's going to be under pressure early. And it might create some opportunities for the Rams to force some turnovers. If that does happen, I like the Rams in this one.
I was going to say, why do I get this inkling that you're going to bet against Tom Brady? Is that what you're about to do?
Yeah.
In the divisional championship round, you're going to bet against Tom Brady. I'm going to pick
the 3 points. I know that Tom Brady has been really good at home this season, but down the stretch, he wasn't really that great at home in the last two. I learned that the hard way. So I'm rooting for the Bucs, believe it or not. As a Packer fan, I really do want to play Tampa Bay.
Look at him looking past the Niners. I love it. Keep going.
The fuck? I'm not. Just I keep say going. This all the time. I'm not playing. Do you realize that, right? I can look ahead till next season and it doesn't matter because I'm not in that locker room.
By the
I'm
way,
not
I got
miss
this,
a tackle.
I got this
Saturday
distinct
night.
Feeling. Ready for this? I know this is a just off the wall conversation or off the wall prediction. If the Packers go all the way, they run the table, they win the championship, and they get to raise the banner week one next year, it's Dallas. It's McCarthy back. That's the game because we go to Green Bay. So I think that's the game.
Yeah, maybe.
I love it.
And I wouldn't mind starting this season off with a dub.
Here we go.
Easy money right there.
Anyway, back to this game.
You did start off this season strong. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. You got beat by 40 on the seat.
That's all he's got, ladies and gentlemen. That is all he's got.
It's still
that's
funny.
That's all he's got. You know what
I mean? And not only that, we were here. We were all here watching it. And like, yeah. There was like utter disgust over it. Like,
I said,
I said
three words the entire
time. I was
going to
say, there was no.
So quiet.
We're like,
miserable.
Hey, Gooch, we're on a live show. So maybe, just maybe talk a little bit. But he's just like looking at the TV like, this is, oh my God. And like, I'm wondering at that moment, did you think of like
Jameis Winston?
It was over. Like the season Jameis was going to be like, what the fuck? You know,
no,
like.
Did I? You know,
no,
me. I'm
because
unwavering, bro. Come on, week one, that was an anomaly.
There's
it would
no
have been
way
a lot
to waver.
Worse. It would have been a lot worse if it wasn't.
Oh, you got your girlfriend defending you in a live chat, which is he's doing the leave Britney alone thing. He's like, leave him alone.
I'm good with it. Thank you, Ash. Thank you so much.
Oh, you just
Scoop
said,
is
Scoop
on my side,
it.
Too.
Scoop just said to leave Britney alone. But in any event, so this game, you're betting against Tom Brady. Is that correct? That's a fair assessment? Okay.
Yeah, and I also like the over in this one.
All right. Well, then we're going to get a lot of points this week because you're taking a lot of overs. To me, I think, again, there's something to be said about the momentum thing for me, like just playing a really good game against Arizona, but they played it at home, right? On their turf, on their speed, right? Like, my dad would always make the joke that, like, the Saints were better at home when they wore black jerseys because they just looked faster, right?
I want to hear what you have to say about momentum when we talk about the next game.
Okay, cool. So the Bucs obviously have a guy. You might have heard of him. His name's Tom Brady. He's in a divisional round. He does fairly well in divisional rounds. I know there's a stat floating around last week that he lost a lot of wild card games. Well, guess what? He got past that round already, okay? And when push comes to shove, I do love McVay. I do really like the story of Matt Stafford, right? I do think that getting that first playoff win off, the monkey off the back, great. You just ran into a buzzsaw. His name's Tom Brady. The Bucs win this game, and they win it outright. I think they cover that number, and they actually win a little bit more than that. I like the Bucs at home to face the winner of the 49ers and Packers game. I won't say who I'm going to pick right now. But so we're on different sides here. You feeling any sort of way about this one?
Like I said, this is the hardest one. Damn it. I can't get enough nicotine. I need that nicotine. So, yeah, like
you
I said.
You can smoke in here. It's,
no, I quit.
Good
shoot,
for you.
This gum. I popped this gum like Skittles, though. like Skittles. I said, hardest game to pick for me. I am a little biased. So the line dropped from 3 to 2.5 on most books. It's still at 3 on FanDuel and Bet365. But the other 6 major books in New Jersey, it is now down to 2.5. That tells me that the books like the Rams. And also, I'm a sucker for, I like betting plus 2.5s because everyone likes betting minus 2.5. So I like betting plus 2.5s and minus 3.5s because I feel like it's almost, those numbers automatically draw the public to the other side. That being said, it's really hard to bet against Tom Brady at home with a fully healthy lineup.
That's what I'm saying. And you're getting Lenny back. I'm going to go with making receivers like fucking Perryman all of a sudden is a stud again.
I'm going to go with, though, as of right now. Now, this one, I'm going to put on YouTube, so it's subject to change. Me and AJ are going to go through all the numbers and put up a YouTube video tomorrow night for this one. But as of right now, I'm going to take Magic Matty Stafford, who was, last week, dropping dimes out there, man.
He was. And that was the first time I ever rooted for, like, Odell Beckham. I was like, wow, Beckham's playing really good football. And I don't hate him this week because he's not bitching and whining on the sidelines. He's actually just playing ball.
He looked really good. Yeah. And then if Matt Stafford – all right, so if Matt Stafford's throwing the football like that, he's better than Tom Brady right now. I like Tom Brady, and he's still great. But Tom Brady ain't making throws like that right now.
No, not even close.
So and he really, Tom Brady's got the zip on the underneath routes, but like as far as dropping dimes, I would give it to Stafford.
No, Stafford's got a golden arm.
I get it.
If Matt Stafford's playing like that, right, throwing 30-yard bullets, like hitting Van Jefferson, Odell, all these guys, Higbee, Cup, where do the Bucs have the advantage here? Where are they better than the Rams? Like D-line, second end?
I'll just say experience.
It's just
cool. The advantage is experience to me. Like, I don't know.
If Stafford's home playing field, better than...
Like, these are the things I'm starting to... I'm grasping at straws here, which is crazy. In a game involving Tom Brady,
the
I'm
Super
like...
Super Bowl champions.
Like, how can they win? I'm not sure. It's still Tom Brady to me, and it's still in Tampa Bay, so that's why I'm just...
Giants hired Schoen.
What?
Giants hired their GM.
Breaking news. We got a GM in New York, and it's... Who is it? So they hired the Bills GM right before the Bills game? That's fun.
Assistant GM.
Whatever. That's still that. See, that shouldn't be allowed.
Why?
The guy's got a game.
Does he?
Yes. What, the Bills aren't playing this weekend?
So you think that the assistant GM is sitting down and game planning for the game?
No, but dude, you're part of another team. Like,
stop.
What is this? So what? He can't attend. So you're telling me all the work this guy's put in all season long, and all of a sudden you're going to be like, hey, buddy, the Giants hired you. I'm like, oh, I guess I won't be going to Kansas City this weekend. Yeah,
my heart really bleeds for the guy that just got hired as an NFL GM. Sorry, I don't mind.
I'm not saying bleed for the guy. I'm saying it's not right. The guy worked his ass off as an assistant to get the job that he wants, right?
He could have turned it down.
He did. Why would you?
Exactly.
But why would you get this job right now in a divisional round of the playoffs?
Honestly, he's going to get a ring if they win. I'm sure he'll still watch the game from wherever he was planning on watching it.
Yeah, from his couch with his family. Like, yeah, dude, that's rough. Screw off, Giants. You guys are such assholes. Like, yeah, we're going to give you the job right now. How about you just be like, hey, listen, in 2 weeks, come report. By the way, you got
to
leave?
He's the general manager. It's time to go to work.
Scoop said he was hired 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, no, Scoop. All right, so here's the funny thing about that. Scoop sent me a screenshot of ESPN.com's transaction wire. And it said January 7th, the Giants had their GM. Oh. And it was him. And he's like, what is this? I was like, I said to him, I was like, what is this? And he's like, I don't know. It's apparently they hired the guy 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, shit. So, like, I put it on Twitter trying to get some steam over there. And then people were like, oh, it's fake. And I'm like, are you sure? And then it just turned out to be real
quick. Just to Brian, Kyle didn't make his pick. He's making his picks on YouTube. This is just a lean. This is where he's leaning. So he's going to actually handicap the game and break it down.
Brian talk with about an it O-N. I like that. I like that.
You can take
Mama,
the Chiefs.
Mama got creative.
You can take the Chiefs to the bank right now. That's the one I like a lot. And the first one we did, I really doubt I'm switching off the Titans. So Titans and Chiefs will be the picks. But I'll be putting up on YouTube, whether I like anything first half, player props. So it'll all be up there along with reasonings why you should bet each side.
Yeah, he does a nice little write-up on the website, so it's not like he's like, I'm kind of feeling this, and then like you're supposed to just blindly follow him into a lake with bricks on your feet. But anyway, wait, Rob, I got a question from Rob. Sturch, do you think anyone other than Josh Allen on that team knew that guy anyway? You know what, dude?
Fair point.
I'm just saying, I'm just making a point that the guy, regardless, he put the man hours in as the assistant general manager to the Bills, and now he doesn't get to see it through. That's my problem.
Yeah, and you know what he did? That's all. All it did was catapult him to an actual GM job. So his job is done.
Yes, I know. Work the salary goes there. Up, and now you got to go deal with Daniel Jones.
And
congratulations.
If they win a Super Bowl, which they won't, he'll get a ring.
I'm sure he will get a ring, but you're missing the point, but it is what it is. Anyway, let's move on to the main event of the evening, and that is your San Francisco 49ers going to Green Bay, going to Lambeau. A lot of points being laid here. 5.5. The Green Bay Packers are favored. They've been off for relatively 2 weeks, I want to say. It's like practically barely played in that Lions game, so that's another factor that I will weigh in on my pick today. But the 49ers,
Yeah, here we go. Who don't care? Doesn't matter to me. We're going to win every game by 10.
Momentum. This one will win by 14.
You're going to win this game by 14? You're going to win this game by 14?
Make your pick. I'm not. If you're about to ask me to do some stupid bet.
I like was going to. But
side bet where I was going to get proper odds.
A case of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they do in that dumbass show?
What is it? Case of Dew. Case of Dew. What show is that?
Skip and Shannon.
Oh, there. How about
so stupid.
Oh, case of Mountain Dew you for a bet.
You owe me 109 cases.
Yeah, you owe me 1,700 cases from last season. Oh, no. I did not pay no case. I'm not giving you that skip.
Neither
I'm
not giving you that drink skip. Diet Mountain Dew. Like, this is disgusting.
First of all, I got it by accident once, and I was like, what the fuck is this? This is horrible. And Danny, you are absolutely 1,000% right. But in any event, here we go.
I just saw that.
Yeah, that's a thing. And it's been a thing.
No way. I had no idea.
No, you sure?
I didn't notice.
I'm just going to try to keep going until you do not say the last word. Anyway, I'll pick this game first, right? So the 49ers coming in. They just beat up on Dallas. They got that win out of their system, right? They needed to have that game for them to gain any kind of steam going into Lambeau Field, in which I saw a stat. I'm not sure. Who put it out there? I think it was AJ, maybe, who put the stats say that Jimmy G has never even started a game with the degrees under 40. Yeah. So this game is going to be like 20, maybe less, right? With 10, it's 8:15 at night.
It's going to be far
less. It's going to be freaking cold, right? So I'm all over, like, the week leading up, I'm all over Debo. I'm all over Eli Mitchell. I'm all over the defense. I'm all over the guys practicing, Joey Bosa, right? I'm sure he'll go out there with no sleeves because that's what tough guys do, right? They take their sleeves off in the cold, right? Look, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are a covering machine, okay? I believe they went 12-5 against the spread this year, meaning they kicked the shit out of a lot of teams. While the story is great, while the 49ers are rolling right now after their win against Dallas, it is Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't lose in Green Bay, and he won't lose this one either. It's just a matter of the number. Does he cover it? Yeah, I think he does. I think the Packers get it done, and they'll be taking on the Bucs in the NFC title game, according to me. I would throw it to you, which I'm going to throw it to you,
Dave,
but give me a reasoning
Dave
of why.
Dave took a big ball of momentum, and he talked about momentum about three other games, and then he stuffed it up Jimmy G's ass in this one because the momentum means nothing right here.
This game, it doesn't.
I think momentum means something like maybe on the opening drive, opening Here's kickoff, but after that it's about execution.
None of these other teams compare.
Nobody is drawing on momentum when it's third and six and you got to block Von Miller or you got to block Joey Bosa or Nick. Like, all that is execution to me. I do agree that there's something to be said for how you come out firing early with momentum. And you know what's funny? I actually had this conversation with my mother. She's like, I think they just need to come out. I'm like, no, they need to come out and just play well, do their job, execute. That's all that it comes down to. You see the good coaches, they're not rah-rah. Bill Belichick, you think he cares about fucking momentum? Honestly, go out there and do your job. I think the reality is there's no one in San Fran secondary that could cover Devontae Adams. They could put two guys on him if they'd like. We're getting Randall Cobb back. The offensive line is now basically fully healthy, minus Elgton Jenkins,
which
we're not getting him back. I just don't see where the 49ers could win this game, other than the fact that they could possibly expose our run D a little bit, but we are getting guys back on the back end where Jimmy G's not going to be able to throw the ball. If Jair plays, we're going to be able to play man. I just don't see how he's going to be able to throw the ball. The Packers' pass rush will be, I think, better if they get Za'Darius Smith back. I just don't see it. I'm going to go with Packers by 14. I think it's a blowout. And
Packers
also
by
the
14.
Under. The under, because it's going to be 3 degrees.
So it's like a blowout and under? So the Niners aren't going to score?
It's going to be a blowout.
I know, but I'm saying, like, when you take an under and then you take a blowout, it's like that means one of the teammates
scoring. Yeah, the 49ers are going to have trouble scoring, I think, in this game. It's going to be 3 degrees.
Scantling hurt, big Lazard game coming from Danny, that a thing?
Well, Scantling's been hurt the past couple weeks anyway, and he's been largely absent, and it's been the Lazard show.
Lazard's going to be wide receiver one next year when what's his guy skips down.
But, yeah, the high for the day is 13 degrees in Green Bay on Saturday, and 13 degrees – as a high, the game is at 8:30. It's going to be like 5 degrees at kickoff. It's going to be one of the coldest games in Lambeau.
Does that even mean anything anymore? Because Josh Allen and Diggs last week looked like they were playing in a dome. I took the Patriots specifically because it was supposed to be 1 degree, and I kept checking the weather during the game.
Yes, the answer is it definitely does mean something. If you think that it doesn't, playing in 1 degree football, I don't know, man. Like, have you ever been in 1 degree?
I'm just saying, like,
one,
maybe
that's different.
Not playing football, but yeah.
And we're talking about the Patriots and the Bills, right? The Bills, they're a little more accustomed to it. They probably practice outside for the last 2 weeks. I don't think San Fran is going to turn on a freezer and practice in it. You know, there's really not much you could do. You can't simulate it. Jimmy G's never played. Go out there with a, when you've got to kick a football that's
a brick.
Frozen. It's just a different aspect of things. I know it affects Green Bay.
Robbie Gould still won't miss.
Trust me, there's been times, and I say this all the time, where technically if you're looking at the two teams, like the 49ers are better suited to play in cold weather.
Yeah.
In terms of the way they play.
Apparently it snows in California.
In terms of the way they play. I learned that. Well, just in terms of the way they play football. Like they want to control the clock, run the football. I just don't think that when you have guys like Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, then it doesn't matter because they could play in anything. Jimmy G, he can't play in anything. And
I thought Josh Allen has been terrible in cold weather over his career.
But I mean,
I saw someone say that.
There was a sap
didn't
he go to, for that.
Yeah. Didn't, I mean, like it's kind of hard to have the same numbers in cold weather. So, yeah, he's going to play worse.
No, I mean, he loses.
Oh, well.
31-17, a prediction coming from Keith. I know he's a Packer guy, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. He thinks it's going to be a little bit of a blowout as
That'll
well.
That'll be the over, though. So
no, then he won't be rooting for that.
So that one stat, it was 17 games, I think, played in 10 degrees or less at Lambeau, and every single one of those games.
You said it yesterday. Oh, what was the record for Lambeau, for them at Lambeau?
It's like 30. Yeah, they're 24-3 under LaFleur. But two of those losses are in the postseason. Yo,
Jimmy G played in New England for 3 years. Someone just wanted
Did he play in New England for 3 years, or did he sit the bench in New England?
I mean, I still played in the elements never of the
started,
practice.
He and never started a game.
So he's never not felt never cold started weather.
I don't know what like you're the from one that made the point.
I made the point because the Packers don't lose at home.
And then, no, but you said Jimmy G has never started a game under 40 degrees. Because so I don't know why that's coming at me like I made the stat. It's a true stat. Jimmy G's going to struggle this week. I don't care if you put that game in 70 degrees and sunny. I think the Packers are going to win.
I think that would be touchdowns. More of a blowout win if that was the case. Sauce, care to fade anybody today or no?
Yeah, I'm on San Francisco.
Are you?
Of course he is.
At 5.5, of course. Of course.
Wow.
I don't know where all this, like, who's beating the Packers at home? Like, a lot of teams, they're barely over 500 in the playoffs at home in their last 13. Like, where is this, like, this mirage that the Packers are this unbeatable team at home? It doesn't
exist. The Browns had him on the ropes.
I mean,
for a little while.
I'll say it's their record at
7-6 in the last. Are we talking about 2009?
Are we talking about a team that's been coached by Mike McCarthy? Yeah, I think that's what we're doing. This.
He's been through enough.
If you're going to bring in my 7-6 last 13 playoff games,
he brought it in. You brought Mike McCarthy into this.
So then don't tell me. Then how about this? Then this conversation is between me and him, and this is what we're doing. If he's going to bring in 7-6 at home in the playoffs, so I'm going to point out the fact that Mike McCarthy was the head coach of 95% of those games. So
it's also talking about Super Bowl champion head coach
him in.
Mike McCarthy.
So I'm making a point.
So to go off that point, then Matt LaFleur is 0-0. Then
no, he's 1-2.
No, he lost last year.
Oh, that was at home.
He's
last
1-2.
Yeah, he lost to the so the Bucks
LaFleur is 1-2. Actually, a worse record than McCarthy. Then got it. All right, so where I don't understand. Where everyone's do you know the Packers have let up 30 or more points in 5 of their last 7 games? Stephen's getting torched over and over again. 49ers have one of the best run games in the NFL, which is now the whole you need to run the ball in the cold weather is a little old fashioned. That's not exactly true. But even the 49ers passing game is all based on yak. They get it to Kittle's hands,
in space,
they get it to Debo's, which is another thing that's more conducive to the cold. Now, I've seen Rodgers and Adams work very well in the cold weather. I'm not pretending like they're going to be affected. I'm also not saying the 49ers are going to win the game. Just saying 5.5 points is a lot for like a cold weather game with the more physical team.
The only thing I can say is that I would be more inclined to ride with the Niners had the Niners not let Dallas back into that game last week. Yeah. That second half for the Niners was shit, right? We could have won that game 3 different times, but we just were incompetent and couldn't get it done.
The 49ers definitely didn't look good last week.
No, I mean, in the second half at least. They came out like gangbusters, right? They were doing their thing. But then second half, Jimmy G is throwing picks, right? The Cowboys are coming back, and not for a botched snap and all that other crap. You know, they might have had another play to tie the game. I don't think they would have, but, you know, there was a chance. So Jimmy G let the foot off the gas, and the Cowboys came back last week. That's the only reason why I think that the Packers, if they get off to the start that they normally get off to, where it's just Adams and Adams and Adams and Adams, they're going to score some points. And then, like, for a team that doesn't have that air assault like the 49ers don't have, it's going to be very hard for them to come back. The way 49ers win games is to get the lead, and just like I said about the Titans, to get the lead and grind out their running game and grind out the clock. They're not going to have that ability to do that this week. That's my only gripe.
Why? Because the Packers run defense is too intense?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, in general, they won't. But no, they won't have an opportunity to do so. Like, I'm thinking the Packers are going to get up early, like early. If this game, and I'll say it right now, that'll be my prediction for this game in particular, if you want to get to like narrow it down. If the Packers get up by 12 to 14 or more at any point, this game is over.
The Packers have to make stops to get up by 14.
Correct. But
you're sitting here and acting like the Packers defense hasn't made a stop all season.
It's been some time. They played well against Seattle in week 10. That's true.
Okay. It's getting hot in here, ladies and gentlemen. What? We got sauce fading.
So uncomfortable.
Fading goods. The girls over here are losing their minds and just somebody's going to get shot. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun time. It is a Friday after all.
I can't wait.
Shit, man.
It's been like this all year.
You're going against everything we stand
for. Keep on winning.
It's supposed to be your feel-good football Friday.
I feel fucking
nobody's feeling good over here.
I feel great right now.
So if the Packers win by a field goal, I come in the victor, right? Just making sure.
Yes.
Because he's not going to care. You're going to win.
I don't give a fuck.
He thinks they're going to win by 14.
I think they're going to win by 14.
I don't even think the 49ers win. Just 5.5 is a lot for a game that could be like slow.
So you're just fading the pick, not so much the team.
That's what's hilarious to me is like you could say all these bad things about a team that you think is going to win just by a field goal less than... You know, like you think they're going to win by three, so their defense is terrible. They can't make a stop. All these things.
I don't think the 49ers
are going to win the game, though.
Probably.
And they're going to win the Super Bowl, most likely.
Because Aaron Rodgers in the last 2 minutes is good as hell. I mean,
we will literally have a duplicate of last year.
But if it comes down to
a potential duplicate of last year.
The revenge tour, baby. That's why I want the Bucks next week. The last two teams that eliminated the Packers from the NFC Championship, the 49ers and the Bucks. Don't think that the Packers don't know that.
Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 against the 49ers in the playoffs also, right?
Have you ever played roulette? You bet red three times. You know, eventually it's going to land on black.
Is that how that works? I think it's a 50-50 every time. Doesn't matter what happened last.
Actually, there's that green spot.
You got to pay the VIG.
Yeah. I was just going to say something good. And
Nothing good that you could possibly say.
No, I had a fucking
after
laser.
Saying I think the Packers are going to win, but not cover.
Hold on. Oh, I know. I was saying... I think the Packers are going to win because Aaron Rodgers is so good at the end of games. We all know that. But if it comes down to the end of the game, I win. If it comes down to the last 2 minutes, I win. Because 5.5 is going to cover in a two-minute drill game.
What if it's tied in the last 2 minutes and the Packers got the ball?
They're running the clock on and kicking a game winner.
Then you're going to see Randall Cobb squirt one. Oh, no, it's Randall Cobb again.
Randall
Cobb again. Right?
I can see it.
For the win in the cover.
I can see it. Oh, listen.
But then if the Packers don't win by 14, do I still lose? Because that's my prediction?
No. We'll go with the spread
here. Pablo, I have that gear. It's on the website. It says fade the sauce. I've got all kinds of fade shit. Your money's always good here.
That's another shirt you should make. Your money's always good here.
Yeah. Like, you should make fade you shirts. I got plenty of them, bro.
Oh, I didn't even know you had a store. I got to get some merch. I didn't know
KyleKrims.com/shop.
Oh, shit. Okay. I got to get some saucy gear. I mean, Dina's bought half the goddamn store for supposedly you, but I guess she's rocking it. But in any event. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, in any event, I said that twice in a matter of 8 seconds.
Okay, Dad.
With that, shut up. Shut your mouth over there. With that being said, this has been another jam-packed episode of the Chop Sports Daily.
Go!
The next time... Oh, boy, here we go. He's walking off the set, ladies and gentlemen. He's walking off the set. God, we'll do it live. Fuck it. No, the next time you see us, it'll be Monday. Will it be a dark Monday? That remains to be seen. According to Gooch, it will not be a dark Monday. They're going to cruise into the Super Bowl and ride off into the sunset.
Cruise by less than 5.5.
Right. So with that, enjoy the football, everybody.
Bet the Lakers.
Oh, here we go. We got some freebies, everybody.
So the Lakers, like I said earlier, that was my...
Oh, you said that earlier.
I was going to say that was like my NBA hammerhead shark, but NFL guarantees are more fun. So Chiefs and Lakers, bet them both. The Sixers play tonight. They're laying 3.5 to the Clippers. The Sixers are missing a ton of pieces. That's why the line's only 7.5 in Philly. And the Clippers have been terrible. Zubac cannot guard the five position. Embiid over 29.5 points. Also laying the 7.5 with Philly.
That's a lot. It's a lot to digest. But the best part about this is you can hit rewind after it's done. But you can also do us a favor right now. We had a goal. I hope we made it. I hope we reached it. Don't look. I don't want to see it. I want to be spoiled. But I wanted to hit 600 subscribers by the end of the show. So if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Chop Sports podcast or Chop Sports YouTube channel. Of course, the podcast, too, if you want to listen to an audio form, we have that as well. Kyle's with us every Friday throughout the playoffs. And then we're going to figure something out for him to be here a whole shit ton more. So In any event, I said that again. What the fuck?
Crying out loud. Close
for crying out loud. Close the show, Dave. For Sturch and Gooch and producer Dina, we want to thank Kyle Kerms for coming in. We also want to thank Amber for doing some behind-the-scenes stuff. For the sake of the network, for the sake of Chop Sports, go Packers, because if they lose, oh, baby, this Monday everything show is going to break all the records.
Everything will be fine.
That Sunday morning coffee is going to taste so fucking good.